Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
We began last week with a pretty intriguing question. Imagine what your life and my life, imagine what our lives would be like if we had perfect faith. Think about it. Imagine what life would be like if we were 100% confident at all times that God was on our side, that He was in control, that He was at work in all circumstances. Imagine what life would be like if we took His word to heart and we believed every command, every principle, and applied it perfectly, able to perfectly avoid temptation and just completely and totally walk with Him. Imagine that. Imagine perfect faith. Last week we talked about that and we all decided, man, it would be better. And the really cool thing about what we're imagining is that that is exactly what God was envisioning when He created us. He created us to have a perfect relationship with Him. That relationship was broken in the garden. And then in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, one story comes back. His attempt to reestablish that relationship. His attempt to get us to re-engage with Him and to trust Him. And He doesn't want little trust. He wants big trust. He wants audacious trust. He wants us to be able to trust Him totally. He wants us to be able to trust Him completely because, as we talked about last week, He understands that trust is the cornerstone of any great relationship. Here's what we said last week. Last week we said, the stronger the trust, the better the relationship. And that's true in all relationships. And it's why we launched this series last week called Stronger. Because our privilege as your church, and one of our goals as your church, is to help facilitate the growth of that relationship, to help facilitate the growth of our faith and our trust in our Heavenly Father. We want it to become stronger. And so we're doing this series together because we know a stronger faith makes everything better. A stronger faith leads to stronger families. Stronger faith leads to stronger marriages. It leads to stronger businesses. It leads to stronger communities. And it leads to a better life. Last week, as we were talking about this, we sort of began to explore, all right, so if a strong faith is really important, if a big faith is really important, how do we get that? How does God grow our faith? And we discovered last week something that many churches use and that we've partnered with some great churches to understand because there are principles you can discover from God and there are practices and there are patterns that we can discover. And we call these the five faith catalysts. And these five faith catalysts are basically five categories, five areas that we see prevalent in every faith story. And the reason we're talking about these five faith catalysts is because the better we understand how something works, the more likely it is that we'll use it. And it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. The more we understand how He works, the better we understand how He works, the more likely it is that we will actually lean in and that our faith will get stronger, which will lead to our life getting better. So last week, we kind of introduced these five faith catalysts. And starting today, what we're going to do is we're going to spend a week on each one. And I'm really excited about where we're kind of taking the content in this series, because as we focus on each faith catalyst, we're going to do something a little different. Each week, we're going to open just like this with kind of some primary teaching just to kind of get us going on the concept. But after that, we're going to try to pull back the curtain on our church, and we're going to have different team members talking about how we actually structure everything we do as an organization around these five faith catalysts. Then we're going to hear stories from Wellspringers about how these different catalysts have actually affected our lives and changed our lives and made our faith stronger. And then each week when we end, we're going to try to give you as best we can very practical, tangible next steps that you can do at home, you can do by yourself, you can do with your community group, you can do with your family to be able to take full advantage of who God is and what He's doing. Because our goal is to walk out of this season stronger than we walked in. We want to walk out with a stronger faith. So before we dive in today, let me quickly remind you of all the five faith catalysts. Number one, the first faith catalyst is practical teaching, and that's actually what we're going to talk about today. Number two, the next faith catalyst is providential relationships. Now, these are the people that God places in our lives that propel us towards Him and help grow our faith. The next faith catalyst is private disciplines. We're actually going to spend 2 weeks talking about private disciplines because these are the practices we learn to do on our own. This is reading our Bible, praying, the act of giving. It's things that we learn to do, and it's practices we can carry that grow our faith and strengthen our belief that God really is who He says He is. After that, the faith catalyst is called personal ministry. I love this one because this is the one where we take a step with God. Personal ministry is anytime we do something that we don't personally feel equipped for, we don't feel ready for, but we feel like God wants us to do it. And so we take a step and God provides. And it's in that environment we get to see God do more than we ever thought possible in our lives. And then we're going to wrap up everything with pivotal circumstances. Now, pivotal circumstances are those defining moments in our life. They're really not things we can plan for, but we can be prepared for them. They can be both good and bad. And it's how we view God in those moments that affects what happens to our faith. So those are the five faith catalysts. And like I said, today we are going to start with practical teaching. And I love practical teaching. To be very clear, what I mean when I say practical teaching is practical biblical teaching. And the reason this is such a big deal to us is because we are convinced that in every faith story, every conversation you have, at some point along the way, God's word becomes real. We learn not only what it says, but we learn how to apply it in our lives. We go to a Bible study, we go to a new church, we read a new devotional, and suddenly we understand, hey, this is what this means for me, and it's when we try it, it's when we apply it, and we learn that it works, that our faith gets stronger. Because that is the entire reason God gave us His Word, so that we can read it, apply it, and make our faith stronger. And so practical biblical teaching is very, very important to us because it was very, very important to Jesus. In fact, at the end of the most famous sermon Jesus ever taught, He explains the value of practical teaching. We talk about this sermon a lot here at Wellspring. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And even if you're not familiar with the title, you are definitely familiar with the content, because this is where Jesus taught all the things that people who don't even really believe in God love about Jesus. This is where Jesus taught us to love our enemies. It's where He taught us to care for other people. It's where He taught us to turn the other cheek. It's where He taught us to take care of the poor. Because Jesus presented this message as He was launching His ministry. And He basically presented an entirely new value system for His followers. He says, hey, if you're going to follow me, this is what we are going to do. He didn't say, if you're going to follow me, this is what I want you to believe. He said, this is how I want you to act, because He knew that the value in teaching isn't in the knowing. The value in teaching is in the doing. And at the very end of this lesson, in Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is wrapping up His sermon, here's what He says. He says, hey, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. In other words, He says, it's not wise to listen. It's not wise to just know. It's wise only if you listen and follow. If you listen and apply, because it's in the applying, it's in the trying that we learn it could be trusted. In all of our faith journeys, there was a time where we discovered God's word could be trusted, that we could use it and we could lean on it and we could follow it, and it would make our lives better. It would make our marriages better. It would make our parenting better. It would make us better employees. It would make us better neighbors. It would make us better bosses. We learned that. And that's why practical biblical teaching is so important to us, because it gives us a rock. It gives us an anchor for us to lean on. In fact, that's what Jesus promises. He says, hey, when you listen and follow, when you listen and do, here's what He says. He says, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. He says, hey, even when struggles come, if you have listened and applied, if you have built that trust, that relationship, your faith in me will be strong enough to withstand struggles. It will be strong enough to withstand temptations. It will be strong enough to withstand difficult circumstances. Conversely, here's what Jesus says next. He says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. In other words, to just simply hear, to just simply know, there's no value to that. And here's why. Because when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, please hear me. It will not collapse because God made it collapse. It will collapse because it's not built on anything strong enough to sustain the storm. Simply knowing what God says really doesn't provide any value. The value comes in the doing. And that is why, as a church, we value practical biblical teaching. We want to make it so easy and so clear for you to not only know what God says, but also to understand how to apply it in your life and how to apply it in my life. And what does it mean for how I should live? That's the value of practical biblical teaching. So the first thing I want to do is I want to take you to a conversation I had with April Colquitt. You know April Colquitt. She is our children's director, but you also know that she is also one of our secondary communicators here. After me, she probably preaches more than anybody else at our church. And so I wanted to sit down with her just to talk about how we kind of craft our sermons and how we plan what we do from the main stage to make practical biblical teaching a very, very, very important part of what we do. So let's check it out. Okay, so I'm here with April Colquitt. You guys know her. She is our children's director. She also helps communicate from the main stage on weekends. She's a part of our creative team, part of our team that does this. And so I thought it'd be really helpful just for you and I very quickly to talk about how from a top-down communicating on a Sunday morning, you know, how we really try to lean into practical teaching. Yeah. How we try to lean into this idea that it's not just about knowing something, but it's actually about doing something as well. So kind of before we dive in, do you have any memories of just, you know, something that really hit you, you know, where practical teaching kind of really made a difference in your life?
Mm-hmm. So one that I think about sometimes is when we were in the middle school maybe, and we did a series called Authority Issues. Mm-hmm. Was that the middle school?
Yes.
So I, in my life, have struggled with authority. That makes me sound like a terrible person. But you know this about me. Like, I'm just skeptical by nature. Somebody doesn't just say something and I take their word for it. I need to dig in. I need to know why. I need to know how. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I've struggled with. So when you taught on authority issues, you did a message. I think you used an umbrella illustration. Mm-hmm. And you said something along the lines of, if we want to get over the things that God has placed under us, we have to get under the things that God has placed over us. And that really stuck with me. And it made a difference in how I started to approach authority in my life. So at home, you know, I thought, if I want to be a better mom, if I want to have authority over my children, then I've got to get under God's authority in the right way. So just practical things like that, then I've been able to apply through some of the series that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So talk a little bit about the work we do and the work our team does to make sure our sermons are practical. Because I don't know that everybody at home kind of understands, you know, how much prep and how much work goes into what we do on the weekends.
Yeah. So sometimes we will hear people say things like, it feels like you guys are bugging my house. And we're not. But the reason that it feels that way is because we do work really hard to try to meet people where they are, to teach to the felt needs of our people. And we want to be in touch with what people are struggling with what problems they're dealing with and wrestling with, so that we are answering those problems when we come with a message series or with a sermon. So that's why it can feel so personal sometimes, is because we really try to be very practical. We don't want to just get up and teach about something that matters to us. We want it to be something that's broad spectrum that everybody can really relate to. And we work with a creative team. So it's not just what my thoughts are, what your thoughts are. We might plant that seed, but we have a lot of conversation about, well, how does this apply to this group of people, or how does this pocket of people wrestle with this problem, or different things like that, so that we're talking a lot about the application of the message as we are planning for a Sunday.
Right. Another thing is, you know, we work pretty far in advance. I'm not sure everybody knows that. But I mean, we'll pretty much, you know, lay out pretty much right now, actually in May and June, we'll lay out the preaching calendar for the next year, so that we can get ahead. And then, when I write, when you write, we actually write 3 weeks in advance and we send it to this team so that we can all read it together again, to make sure it's practical. One of the things we're always asking is, okay, what do we want people to do with what they're learning here? And until we can answer that question, we keep going. Because it's not enough just to teach people to know something. You know, we want to make sure that people are understanding, okay, here's what I should do with what I know.
Yeah, you're very good at that, and you've challenged me on this. There's been some times when I've written a message, you're like, yeah, but what do you want them to do with that? And that's an area where I've had to kind of grow, but it helps when we talk about it as a team. But you're very good at giving us next steps. So oftentimes when Trey closes his messages, he'll say things, well, here's your next step today. We want you to take a step to sign up to serve on a team or take a step to join a group. Or sometimes the next step is simply go home and pray about this one specific mm-hmm. thing. Go home and ask God this, how this matters for you. But either way, you try to do a really good job of leaving people with something to do as they leave.
Yeah, we talk a lot in our groups, in our creative team, about bottom lines.
Yep.
And what a bottom line is it literally, we want to create one simple, memorable statement mm-hmm. that sort of can be taken home. And that requires a couple of things. One of the things you and I both have had to do is simplify our sermons. Mm-hmm. Like, I've read yours and you've read mine before, and it's like, yeah, that's a great series.
Yeah.
But you've got too much information yeah. in there, because people can really only do about one thing at a time.
Yeah, I can hardly remember a grocery list.
Exactly, right.
So if there's more than three things on it, I don't remember.
Exactly. And so a 5-point sermon doesn't really help.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why we want one clear, practical next step, hopefully memorable. You know, sometimes those bottom lines rhyme, sometimes they're even a little cheesy,
yeah.
but that's because cheesy is memorable.
Yeah, it sticks.
And yes, it does. It does. And so, you know, that's why we do that, to try to make it, again, as easy as possible to be memorable and practical moving forward.
Yeah, one that I think of a lot, again, family related, I'm in family ministry, that's what I do, is when we did the Family Circus series in Utah, the bottom line that we pointed to every week of that series and kind of built off of it was, your family's leader determines your family's legacy. That's another thing that we do, is we give them a bottom line, mm-hmm. but in a series that might be sort of an introduction, and we right. kind of build off of it right. so that there's more content that relates to that right. whole message, but that every week it's something simple enough that they can go home and apply.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you. You do a great job when you do communicate. I know you've made my communication better. And that's just kind of a little insight into how we do mm-hmm. practical teaching and how we try to make sure it's super applicable for all of us. Right now, we have some stories of some Wellspringers sharing how practical teaching has changed their life. And after that, we're going to come back with a whole panel and talk about very practical next steps for all of us as we try to position ourselves in this Faith Catalyst practical teaching. So check it out.
My name is Lily Pillow.
And I'm Charlie Richardson.
I think just having the community at Wellspring is really beneficial, because, you know, you have that encouragement to just take baby steps. I mean, like life isn't easy. You're not going to pick up your Bible every day and do that. But just coming to Wellspring and just having that encouragement to just read a verse or just turn on a worship song, just small practical things like that. And even just taking notes during the service and going back, and like, we both take notes in our notebooks. Like, I think Wellspring does a really good job at making just simple bottom lines for us to carry with us throughout the week. And whenever we need it, it's just a straight up, you know, something to remember. So it's just always present in your mind. And just having those notes to look back on is really helpful. Just right. a reminder to always have with you.
Yeah, I take notes in my notebook at church all the time too. I actually just filled up my last notebook, and so when I finished that, I went back and like read through a couple sermons, kind of just refreshed my memory on everything that I've learned, and it's been really, really good.
So just having this community at Wellspring has really helped me just keep in mind what is good for me, and just refocus me and mm-hmm. speak truth into my life. And last summer, we went to Wellspring Students Camp, and the theme was United, and Pastor Trey one night was talking about how he compared cell phones to our lives, and he talked about how, you know, we get drained just like the phone battery, and the only thing that can really recharge us is Jesus. So that really stuck with me, because as I'm going through high school and all this craziness, I'm, you know, surrounded by temptation and all kinds of wild things, and it's just a really good reminder, because I constantly can think back to that and be like, well, you know what, Jesus is the only one that can fulfill me, and not all this stuff that other people are doing, just God.
I've definitely been applying that too. I sort of have a camp story too. So the first year we went to camp, Our tribe leader, Matt Merritt, made us t-shirts that said Proverbs 27:17 on it, which is, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And so that's kind of been one of the Red Tribe's like sort of base principles that we've sort of just followed. And so the next year we went to camp, which Lily was just talking about, the United Camp, we kind of took the Kama tribe, which was the youngest tribe, the rising sixth graders, kind of under our wing. So that kind of, that guiding principle, just the as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend, we kind of took that and applied it to our little sort of like mentorship sort of situation that we did with the younger kids. And it kind of just helped us grow through our faith, sort of just with them at the same time. And I think it was really beneficial, and it helped us, both tribes, grow a ton. A super big way I've seen my faith grow in my time at Wellspring is just serving in the Wellspring kids environment. And just this super small things, like just dancing up on the stage or playing Joseph, which is super fun. I could wear a robe and everything. but just those small little practical ways of just sitting down with the kids and explaining what we watched in the video or just stuff like that. Just being a part of that practical teaching and helping those kids grow at the same time, it's just made my faith really strong, just seeing them grow and me grow at the same time.
So before we go, as we wrap up today, we wanted, again, just to make this incredibly easy and practical to take a next step. And one of the best ways for us to do that as we wrap up is just kind of explain how we do this in all of our different areas. You know, April, Eric is our student director, Abby is our director of spiritual development. And between the three of you, you pretty much are over, you know, kids, students, and adults. And so, Eric, I'll start with you. How have you been able to leverage practical teaching in students?
Yeah, so we just heard from Charlie and Lily. They did such a good job. They really keyed in on what we talk about a lot here and what you guys talked about earlier about the bottom line. We try to keep it really simple, really practical steps that you can take with you every single week. We just finished a series in students called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I mean, that's an important thing in these times. And one of the bottom lines was, when you don't know what to do, know that God is with you, which is such an important truth. And so we really do that with kids. We do that in students and adults. We focus on one thing that you can walk with for that week, so you can focus on. And you guys do that in kids.
Yeah. One of the things that we do in kids is we keep it really fun, because if kids aren't having fun, they won't learn anything or remember anything, obviously. So we don't want it to feel like school. We want them to come in and have a good time while they're here. So one thing that we do is we try to bring stories to life. We do really fun games, not just games that mean nothing. Usually they will point to what they're going to be learning about in their Bible story lesson for that day in their large group time. And then when they leave that large group time where they're having the majority of that practical teaching, we'd send them straight to their circles where they're in a small group and they can immediately practice what they just learned. They apply it through some sort of object lesson or game, something like that, an activity where they can immediately put it into practice. If they do that, they're more likely to go home and remember it.
That's one of the secret sauces. You know, if you are part of our church, you know one of our core values is we believe circles are better than rows. And April just sort of tipped our hand as to why we believe that, because practical teaching, while incredibly valuable, has to be paired with an environment, has to be paired with a group of people that you can ask questions, that you can wrestle with it, that you can figure it out. And, you know, that's why kids, students, and adults, everything we do is about practical teaching and then leveraging groups, leveraging smaller pockets and smaller opportunities of conversation to be able to help us apply it in our life. Abby, you're over all our adult groups. How have you seen this play out? And how have we sort of leveraged our groups to really make practical teaching just a really easy thing for people to lean into?
Yeah, I love how you guys talked about how we do it for kids and students, because some of those same things are necessary for adults to learn. The environment does have to be fun. It doesn't have to necessarily have somebody dancing around in a robe like Charlie talked about, but dinner around a table with friends, what we encourage our groups to have. We have community groups, we have men and women's Bible study, smaller groups that start just because they're going through something together, or even our serve teams, we encourage supportive relationships. Because I know personally for me, when I'm wrestling with something practical teaching, something God is teaching me that I have questions about, or I'm not quite sure how to handle that, having the right people around me has helped me grow through that. It's helped me push me towards that growth. So we encourage that in our adult groups, just the same we encourage it with students and kids. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for just kind of helping us wrap up today. And, you know, if you're at home, I know that you may have some more questions about practical teaching. You know, how do you apply this? And I want you to know we're with you. We have some very practical next steps for you to take to even, you know, begin to experience practical teaching, to join a group. And so, actually, Abby, I believe you have some next steps. Why don't you kind of wrap us up and tell them what they can do with what they've learned today.
We have an amazing resource on our website and our app, which is actually 10 years of content, 10 years of practical teaching that we have. And we actually have a way for you to search that if you're going through dealing with anger, or if you want to see how to be a better parent, how to communicate better. We'll have a way for you to search that on our website and our app. But this week we'll be focusing on that on social media and through our app push notifications. We also have some brand new groups that are starting over the next few weeks for adults specifically, but Eric will also be having some ways you connect with students. So we'll have information on that under the group section on our app. There's a really brief survey. If you fill that out, we will connect you with the group leader this week. I hope you have enjoyed our time together. I know I have. We will be back here next weekend as we continue stronger together.